This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
What are you doing?
We're doing the news. Yeah. Another day, another issue with an airplane. This time it was a Delta flight. Something, maybe to South Carolina. I don't remember exactly where it was headed, you might say. But they took off. They'd only been in the air for a few minutes. And next thing you know, boom, cabin full of smoke. Now, I do watch. I'm not an aviation expert, but I do watch that show. I've seen every episode quite a few times.
Aviation experts?
Well, they used to call it Seconds from Disaster. Then they called it Mayday. It's had a few different names. But the one, the Smithsonian thing, where they talk about just airplane accidents.
Never seen it, buddy, but I'm sure it's great.
Well, you can stream it on Paramount if you wish. And they always say smoke in the cabin. You don't want smoke in the cabin.
I would think
that's like a bad one. You'd rather have fire on a engine and see fire outside the window and one of the engines like totally engulfed than have smoke in the cabin, especially if you're at a certain altitude, because you probably won't have time to get down to the ground. Now, luckily, they'd only just taken off. Not to mention, the person who is an aviation expert who was on the news this morning said, look, this was probably just an air conditioner issue based on what I've seen and not actual smoke. There probably would have been.
Passengers say it happened shortly after takeoff on Delta Flight 876 from Atlanta to South Carolina.
Breathe through your clothes, Nana.
Smoky air filling the cabin as concerned passengers covered their faces. The Boeing 717 was only in the air for a few minutes, looping back around for an emergency landing around 9 a.m. The crew deploying slides for passengers to exit the plane.
They did get to use the slides. I mean, I guess
that's fine.
If you wonder if it's real smoke, you know, if it's just the air conditioner, then and they'd known that, then they probably don't have to use a slide. But you don't know if the battery's on fire or something. So yeah, they got to use the slide. I've never seen the slide with my own eyes. I've seen
it'd be
on.
Cool though, right?
It would be awesome. It would be really cool.
I mean,
cool.
Depending. If it was something like that, you could get out. You already landed.
Yeah. No one dies.
I don't want to do it in the mountains. Then you know. Whatever, have to eat my friends.
Oh, yeah.
Have a ritual where the building falls on me and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You've been watching Yellow Jackets again? Alive, maybe?
I was saying about Yellow Jackets, but yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that movie. I know they did a newer one on Netflix last year, like a miniseries or whatever, but that family. What were they, rugby players, soccer players? I think they were rugby players, the ones that ate each other. As a kid, I just was totally amazed by this. I remember asking my dad, because the movie came out, I think it was just called Alive, probably in the early to mid 90s, and my dad must have said something like, you know, that's a true story. And I'm like, so what? Because the trailer doesn't talk about them eating each other. And my dad's like, oh, well, this plane crashed and there were survivors, and in order to survive they ate each other. And I'm pretty young, and I was like, they ate each other? And he's like, yeah. And I didn't know that that, you know what I mean? Like,
you didn't know that was
how,
wrong?
How did they, yeah, how did they get, why did they make a movie about this? You know, what's a big deal? No, just, I didn't know.
A little like, Dexter I over there, like, oh, I'm delicious.
I couldn't comprehend, like, what do you mean? They ate them, like, they just start eating their hands, you know what I mean? They just start somewhere.
I don't know, did they do that? Did they cook them?
They took glass, as if I recall, it's been a long time. They took glass and they cut chunks of their asses out, and then I don't think they were able to cook them.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds great, man.
It's actually your
kind
of jam.
If anybody's going to be up in a mountain somewhere eating ass, it's that kid.
Hell yeah.
I don't remember if they were getting their fires going or not, or if they had to eat it raw. I feel like maybe they
can't eat raw ass.
Well, again,
I beg to differ.
Snow cone will beg to differ, and if you have to survive, that's the thing, though. Would you?
Eat raw ass?
Eat human flesh, raw human flesh to survive.
Well, I'm closer if it's cooked.
Yeah, if it's cooked, I'll definitely
they're just like,
hungry.
Hey, I sliced off a piece of this dude's ass, eat up. I'm like, all right, I'll just jump off a mountain.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I'm going to jump off a mountain anyway. But that said, if everybody's just eating ass and it looks all right, I guess maybe.
Yeah, if you cook it, it's not really even a question. If I'm hungry, if I'm quite hungry.
Well, I don't because know if I'm gonna eat people, but.
If it's cooked.
Well, here's my thing. If we're desperate, I guess in my head, all three of us, you know, and some other people on a plane that crashed or somewhere, we can't get out, so we decide to kill Snowcone, right?
Yeah.
And then we chop off a piece of his ass and we put it on a fire. If we're that desperate, then we're going to die anyway. So just take me to a mountain and let me jump off. The only thing I can think of a problem is where I do eat his ass is if I can't find an easy way to kill myself.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If it's like a flat land and it's like, well, what, I gotta hang myself from a tree or something. Like, now it's starting to get complicated.
There
if
are
I could just
ways
go to
die.
A top of a mountain and jump off of it, right? But then it's got to be way down there because the worst thing that happens is I break both my legs. Yeah. Can't walk. And you guys, snow cones over there eating my ass. I don't need that.
We're just waiting for you to die.
Yeah, I don't need that. So I need to make sure I die. This is where it gets complicated.
I think in the Andes thing, they landed like near the edge of the mountain, at least in the movie. So I think you could have easily died. They were staying inside the fuselage, what was left of the wreckage, and that's how they were staying warm at night. So that's the other thing. You know you can get in if you're freezing and warm up a little bit, but now you're just starving. And, I mean, I've been really hungry, but I've never been starved before. I've heard it's horrible. Sounds horrible. I think...
I'm sure it's not pleasant.
I think if it's cooked, it's probably a pretty easy pitch. If it's
you would
raw,
eat it?
If I'm starving, I'll bet it's...
You wouldn't kill yourself
difficult.
Before you ate somebody?
I don't know. I really don't.
Like,
I would think
look,
if I had
like,
kids
I
to get back
die.
To.
And I want to be
I'd
alive.
Probably die.
And I want to be alive.
Well, right? That's why I go with you.
And I do love all this stuff. I like being alive.
You got kids
I got
and all
kids.
That.
I want to be alive. But if a plane crashes in the Andes, like, life isn't that great that I got to struggle to live for it. Like, what's so great about it, especially now? Like, now I'm in the Andes eating people. That's what I want to do.
Well. Ask Socrates. I don't know. Why is there that struggle? The common sense part of your brain is saying, what is so great about life that I'm eating Samantha's butt cheeks over here?
Right, to try to stay alive for an extra 3 days in the Andes.
Just so I can get home to my miserable life.
But chances are I'm not getting home.
Yeah.
We're eating ass right now, so I'm probably not getting home. If they were like, eat snow cone, and we know a cruise ship is coming in 30 days... And if you don't eat them, then you're going to die. But when the cruise ship can finally get here, you'll get back on it and go home. Then I'd eat them.
Yeah.
But if I'm just out there just randomly eating people, hoping for a plane to fly by, not interested.
Well, they did survive. At least some of them did survive in that thing. I think they had to rebuild the airplane.
I'm sure their lives are normal. Just
yeah,
eating people's ass up in the Andes. Like, you get back, everything's normal.
And then they make a movie.
Your kids are like, where were you? You're like, oh, just on vacation. And, like, you go to bed, and you're like, hungry for ass. Like, whatever that...
How'd you survive?
Right. You don't walk away from that without a mark.
No, I don't think so. I think at that point, then you start to regret the decisions. Because, like you say, you've got the PTSD now. You know what you did.
Right.
And they're making movies
about
it, too.
Your kids know you ate somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
They're asking questions.
That's who you're trying to get back to. Now your kids don't even love you anymore.
Your grandkids are like, tell us more about Grandpa's story where he ate people. Like, you don't want that. You'd rather just be the dead dude and be like, I think they ate Grandpa.
Well, that's the bad thing. Like, if you find out that your family member was the one who was eaten, you know? I mean, look, they died. I guess that's the worst part, but... Adding the fact that they were eating
I'd rather
feels...
be like, yeah, he died because he refused to eat people.
True.
Then
you're
Grandpa's
right.
alive and he ate some children.
Yeah, that's true. You can just be mad at the other people and not disappointed
and
in your
respect your grandfather for yeah. making a stand and being like, we're not eating people.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, until I'm in that situation, I don't know. But I'm sure knowing me, I would just die in the initial accident anyway. Moving on in the news, Trump is trying to end this war in Ukraine. We're starting year four.
Alexis Terry on our Twitch. They said Snow Cone just sitting over there shivering and eating ass with a
Yeah, because it's
I don't know what you guys
curly.
Are complaining about.
Trump is trying to end
Not
the war in Ukraine. Trump's trying to end the war in Ukraine. I think it's 4 years now. Are we starting year four, Snow Cone? Is that what they said this morning? We're starting another year here,
yeah,
so this must
there's
be...
There's 22, there's 23, there's 24. Now this is the fourth year.
So we're starting the fourth
starting
year.
The fourth
They're
year.
Trying to find an end to it. Meanwhile, our allies in Europe and all, they signed some sort of resolution. Trump says, nah, don't like it. I'm going to sign the other thing, side with the Russians. So now we're kind of at this, you know, in a weird position because we're not siding with our allies. But I don't know. Maybe that's not so weird. But the hell do I know? I don't know anything about politics. He's siding with Russia. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? If you voted for him, do you like it or do you not like it? I really don't know. Maybe you just say, hey, the ends justify the means. Let's get this war over with. Let's stop spending all that money. It's got to come to an end. We're entering year
four. I think
four.
I'm just of the age where it's, I'm like, yeah, no. We're not friends with Russians.
I know.
Like, I saw Rocky. I know what Ivan Drago's about. Like, why are we? That's not it.
Oh,
that ain't
like
us,
that.
Man. I saw Red Dawn.
We do. And the remake.
Right.
I turned it into
well, that was North
well.
Korea, but
yeah,
still.
But who else is fighting in Ukraine right now?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like,
so.
You know, so whatever. I mean, you new-aged, I guess, you boomers who have forgiven Russia, I guess, and you new-age Gen Z kids are like, I like Russia. Okay, but for this Gen X guy, it rubs me the wrong way.
Well, one of the
I will not let those kids from Red Dawn die in vain.
One of the things I thought was funny yesterday, so Macron was here at the White
Who?
House. Macron, is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah.
He was at the White House, and they because Trump has called Zelensky, we talked about it, he called Zelensky a dictator or whatever.
Yeah.
So someone in the press asked him, would you call Putin that? And Trump's like, I don't throw that around lightly. That's what he says, I think.
In just the last week, President Trump has made a series of false assertions blaming Ukraine for starting the war and criticizing Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky as a dictator. Yesterday, declining to say the same about Vladimir Putin.
I don't use those words lightly. I think that we're going to see how it all works out.
Macron's visit
what
comes as the U.S. voted
out?
Against a United Nations resolution condemning Russia's aggression. The U.S. siding not with Europe or most of its allies, but with Russia, North Korea, and Iran, among others.
Right.
So, we found some common ground finally.
Hey, look, I'm just telling you, you know, I could be wrong, but from where I grew up, this is upside down. It's upside down. Like, we hated Iran.
Yeah.
Reagan told me they're a bunch of bastards.
No, Trump killed their military
guy. We should
guy.
Kill them all.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we don't like the Iranians. They took hostages in the Ayatollah Khomeini, I think. I don't even know what that is,
I know. Nobody does.
Right.
But I see an image.
Yeah.
When you say it. Pretty sure I know who we're talking about. North Korea.
Right.
We were on the other side.
The Ayatollah. Yeah. I remember it was real controversial because a DJ growing up in Detroit called himself the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller.
I like that.
That's
yeah.
sick.
What was controversial about that?
Well, people were like, you know, you can't be being the Ayatollah. You know, you didn't want. That's how much we hated him. You weren't allowed to be the Ayatollah,
God.
But he was like, I'm the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller.
Give me a break. Well, he wouldn't have to worry about that today.
Big Daddy.
I fear it's probably too late, though, for him to make the most of it. He's probably retired.
Well,
now,
I could just steal it from him.
You could.
You guys, I would like to be referred to, well, I don't know, yeah. I'd like to be referred to
you don't have to ask. You don't have to ask. You are the Ayatollah of rock and roll from here on out.
Thank you.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets. Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. The rest of the news, my man.
Great.
Well, the Gabby Petito documentary on Netflix, I guess everybody's seen it now. Laszlo's watched it twice, I hear. And there's some there's some pushback. It's just something we already said that there would be, Snow Cone. They're upset about the same old video that they were upset about when it was first released, the body cam video by the cops. And of course, Brian Laundrie's family's representative, their lawyer, is upset about the way that they were portrayed in the documentary. They said there were some things that were misleading, you know, taken out of context or put in the wrong order or whatever to make them look bad. You know.
So the parents of the guy who killed the girl, they're upset of the way the...
Yeah.
You guys make it sound like everybody's just sitting at home just well aware of who the hell Gabby Petito is. She could have won a Grammy for all the I know.
They knew at the time. True, you may not know the name now. It was the blonde that died that we were looking for forever. I say we. The country was looking for it forever.
Well, you
the media was looking
you
for
You put
it.
A little miles on those shoes, leather, didn't you?
That's true. That's true.
You were out there looking for Gabby Petito. He's trying to prove an innocent man guilty in Idaho. YouTube guys.
Yep. TikTok sleuths right here. So, really, what's new with this? Nothing, except that it's happening again. Netflix puts out a documentary. Doesn't matter if it's a story that's 30 years old, like the Menendez brothers. That sort of makes sense to me. A lot of young people aren't familiar with it. Or something that's only a few years old, like this Gabby Petito thing. Once Netflix does a documentary, then suddenly everyone's talking about it again, and there's new opinions about it again. And I just don't really understand why that's new.
This on punch you.
Amid backlash after the documentary, the city of Moab underscoring in a statement, police separated the couple that night. Meantime, an attorney for Brian's parents accused the documentary of containing many inaccuracies, incorrect juxtapositions of timelines, and misstatements and omissions of facts.
It's just kind of crazy to me that the police department that had already put out statements when it happened, because people were upset about how they handled the...
the investigation.
Witnesses calling and saying that there was abuse, that they'd seen a guy attack a woman. And the cops pulled his car over. But then they have another witness who said, no, the woman started it. Well, when they pull the couple over and they separate them, the guy is saying, Brian's saying, yeah, she attacked me. She is saying, I attacked him. So they're both saying that.
Right.
What are they supposed to do in that situation? Everyone's so pissed at them again.
Right.
And I think some people were pissed that they offered him a hotel, but then told her she could stay in the van while he gets a hotel. But if you watch that video, it seems like that's what they wanted. They're both, basically saying the same thing, that this is what happened. And once you have that other witness call, I don't know what police are supposed to do in these domestic situations, but when they Right. show up, what are they supposed to do? I feel like defending the cop...
It doesn't
somehow
mean
puts me in a minority, but...
By the way, far be it for me to jump in here. I didn't even watch the documentary.
But you remember the whole police body cam thing.
That doesn't mean that what happened on that body cam is wrong. Meaning she could have attacked him.
Right, yeah.
And they could have been arguing. Like, they could have had one of those relationships that a lot of us have been mm-hmm. in that's just horrifying from beginning to end, and it didn't end up that way, but there's drinking and fighting and punching and verbal and emotional abuse on... both sides, so maybe the cops pulled up this time and she was the one who attacked. That doesn't give them a right to kill her later, but it just doesn't mean that video's wrong or they handled it wrong.
Or did the cops drop the ball,
Right. They could have just shown up and been like, yeah, okay, well, this happened. They don't know necessarily what's happened in the past without any record of it. They sure as hell don't know what's going to happen in the future. So they're like, let's separate them. Where do you want to go? And she's like, I'll stay with the van. He's like, you get a hotel. You guys cool off.
Yeah,
it happens a lot.
I'm sure,
and people don't end up dead.
Yeah, and it's happening right now.
So this is a tragedy, but it doesn't mean that what they saw was wrong.
No, exactly. It doesn't mean that the story wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying there, and it also certainly doesn't mean that they handled it the wrong way. Because she died, that doesn't mean they handled it the wrong way. What are they supposed to do? They don't know anything about this relationship. And like you said, certainly don't know that he's going to kill her soon.
Right.
But when you watch that documentary, I do feel like they draw that part out quite a bit. And I got the impression, are they trying to make the cops look silly here? Because one of the cops is kind of, trying to calm her down. And there's one same cop probably that goes over and talks to Brian and is kind of trying to calm him down. Like, yeah, my wife gets anxious sometimes. Like, she takes medication for it. And I just thought, they're playing a lot of this. I can just sense that there's going to be this pushback.
Right.
Like, these cops were so dismissive. What are they supposed to do? They've got two people telling the exact same story. And then you've got a witness who supposedly tells them, well, at least one of the two witnesses telling them, yeah, the female started it. What were they supposed to do?
Right.
If you're upset about one getting a hotel and the other one not, and that's it, then okay. But I got the impression that it was her van and she wanted the van. She might have even said it. I'm not sure. Maybe he said it. But
they're not, they don't have crystal balls.
Right.
So, and also, you know what? Maybe cops are put in an unfair position to have to be doing this all the damn time.
So that's, you know, instead, you know, they use that term, the defund the police, and it was just a dumb term. And of course, it didn't work because of the term. But if they would have used the term refund the police, and on a domestic dispute, a social worker goes with you, then maybe this could have been avoided, right? Like, I don't know, you're a cop. You go, like, hey, what's going on? There's a fight here between a man and a woman. We got one witness says you slapped her, and another witness says that she started it. What happened? They're like, I attacked him. The guy's like, yeah, she gets out of hand. So I'm like, all right, well, then separate you two.
Yes.
You guys got to work this out.
Yep. That's right? That. That's that. And I can't, I don't read minds, but I'm assuming that there aren't very many cops out there who thought, I want to be a cop so that I can go talk to people, couples that are having domestic issues. That's not why you become a cop. I'm sure somewhere out there, there probably is one or two, but it's not the reason most people want that job. And yet I think it ends up being a huge part of what they have to do is going to homes and dealing with something that really they didn't want to deal with. And I don't think they should be the one and only line of defense for when something like that does happen. I understand calling the police because you don't know who else to call, but that's just because we're trained.
Don't have anybody else.
Yeah. And if you think someone's actually being hurt,
right?
Like the, then yeah, I get it.
And they should have been there. The cops should have been there.
The cops should be there because someone was being attacked.
Somebody else who's like, "Hey, I'm a social worker. I've seen this a million times.
And they
let's make sure we handle it this way." Okay,
yeah, exactly. You guys remember Firefest? Speaking of Netflix and Hulu documentaries, remember the Firefest a few years back? That was the giant festival that that guy. Now I can't think of his name. Billy something, isn't it?
Billy something.
But yeah, Billy went to prison for a while because First Fire Fest, they, you know, the courts at least said it was a big old fraud. Charged people a lot of money for tickets to a concert that really was possibly the poorest preparation for a festival of all time. Maybe there's been others when you can tell me. No, there's, but it's certainly in modern day. This guy had no idea what he was doing. They didn't seem like they had many people involved who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of experts to put together any concert, let alone one where you're going to do it in this tropical location and build everything from the ground up.
Unbelievable.
And what ended up happening is they get there and they had cheese sandwiches and they had to sleep in FEMA tents because nothing was going as planned, or nothing really was even planned. And the bands were canceling. When the few bands that had actually agreed to do it were canceling the day of or the day before. Whatever. Like, they knew. I'm sure their managers probably look into this and make sure that everything appears like it's going well. And when they see that it's not, they tell their artists, yeah, no, we're not doing this. We're out. So if you're really bummed, though, that it was a failure and you were hoping that Billy could give another go, he has said he's giving another go. It's happening like at the end of May. It's not that far away, actually. It's going to be in another tropical location, this time on an island somewhere in Mexico, I believe. And tickets are very expensive. But he wants you to know, you're not betting on Billy. Sure, he got in trouble for fraud and all that. You're not betting on what Billy's done in the past. You're betting on what Billy wants to do in the future and his vision.
True.
And it's a good vision that he has.
Fire 2 is real. My dream is finally becoming a reality. There are festival operators. There are hotel partners. There are concierge groups. There are ticket companies.
Why do you think those partners agreed to partner with you, given what happened the first time?
So I think Fire 2 really isn't about the past, and it's not really about me. It's about taking the vision, which is strong.
Tickets on sale today range in price from $1,400 to $1.1 million.
Who do we get to see?
Ooh, I wonder what's right
there. Have they released the lineup yet?
No.
So you just buy tickets.
As of this morning, there were no artists that
Just give me the $1.1 million.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Right.
If Billy's gotten in a lot of trouble, he's not going to do that twice.
Yeah.
Right? So you know it's going to be good. And you know artists are going to want to be a part of it. They're going to want to be associated with Billy.
Shouldn't be hard to convince them.
I wouldn't think so. I'm just trying to decide where do I, you know, fall into this whole thing. Do I go all the way to 1.3?
What do you get for $1,400?
$1,400, I don't know. They made it seem like you just get a ticket. So I don't know if that means like you got a stand and all that stuff. Mm. The expensive ones, there's like cruise ships and sounds nicer. I think we should try and, we don't have to get the most expensive, but we should probably get something a little nicer than the cheapo $1,400 tickets. Okay. Who do you think's going to play? If you can predict a headliner, then Soko has to buy you a ticket to Firefest 2.
Drake.
You think Drake will be one of the headliners?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. I don't remember who they said last time. Did they say like Blink 182?
And
was that like the one?
Like Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne. Okay. Drake's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see Kendrick doing it.
No.
Not with all the success he's been having lately.
No, why risk it?
Why risk it? But Drake, he needs to take a big risk now,
yeah, right?
Drake's a good one. Yeah, I can't beat you there. I think Drake is as good a guess as any. I can't imagine either that like old artist would want to do it, just because I imagine their managers are old school and all those things. Maybe, but a check's a check. If it
if it's gonna cash,
then they'll do it.
But it didn't get cash last time.
No,
so
it didn't. So
that's the worry.
That would be a huge worry. Would you just, you know, you've worked with putting concerts together, mm-hmm. worked with managers of bands, things like that. Would you think that it would be possible for this guy to get investors to do this a second time around and book artists that are worthy of this $1 million ticket price?
The only thing that makes me say maybe,
okay,
is that there has been so much talk about Firefly. Like, it's just a concert horribly wrong. There's been like 4 documentaries on the goddamn thing. Like, so there is a part where it's like, hey, we're going to be a part of, you know, coming back and doing it right. And, you know, maybe, you know, I don't think it'd be easy to get the artists and the bands, but I think you could get some who are like, all right, this thing was a giant, massive story. I'm going to headline the second one.
It's amazing to me that he says this time we've got, you know, ticket promoters.
Yeah.
We've got all these things that they needed to have the first time when it looked like they were just putting it together themselves. I'm rooting for Billy. Does he not kind of sound like Mark Zuckerberg? He talks and sounds a little bit like Mark Zuckerberg. Anyhow, end of May, and tickets go on sale today. So, I mean, if they're still available. This was a few hours ago, so I'm not
sure. Firefest 2?
Firefest 2.
The Church of Laszlo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.